Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. Welcome to The Front Row for this Wednesday, the 1st of March, 2017. I'm Clint Barrick. The Humanities Center at Texas Tech University is sponsoring a themed speaker series this spring. Dorothy Chansky stopped by our studios to tell us about it. Dorothy Chansky, welcome. Thanks very, very much for being with us today on this edition of The Front Row. You are the director of the Humanities Center here at Texas Tech University. For folks who don't know, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, the Humanities Center is, I guess we could say, an umbrella organization. We are not about any particular department or college. We're about the humanities brand. So certainly the departments that you think of as being traditionally humanities are departments that are, I think, enthusiastic about having us around. And then because we are such a wonderfully comprehensive university, there are facets of the humanities scattered in many colleges, not just arts and sciences. So we have constituents from architecture. We occasionally get people from human sciences. We have several very engaged members, participants from visual and performing arts. And when I say members, I mean members of our board of advisors, who are 13 faculty members. And when I say participants, I mean people who have applied for and received funding from us to do research, and who, as part of the funding, one of the stipulations, present their research for us. So we have a robust crop of talks given by TTU faculty members every year in a variety of formats, from 15-minute TED-like talks to more traditional, say, 40-minute talks followed by question and answer. But we're very, very pleased that there's been buy-in from so many disciplines.
And you have, in fact, a speaker series for the spring of 2017 with a theme, actually. Help unpack that for us.
All right. Every year, the Humanities Center has a theme, and this year's theme is futures. We have a little tagline: Wall Street sells them, science fiction writers imagine them, ordinary people plan for them, futures. We try to find themes that invite many, many angles on them, many ways of looking at them. Again, not wedded to a single discipline. And again, in this instance, we could be talking economics, we could be talking fiction, we could be talking science fiction. One of the things that we were a little concerned about when we concocted the theme is that when we started thinking about books and movies that took up ideas of the future, many of them seemed to be dystopian. And the speaker who's coming in next, I think, has a utopian spin to what she has to say. But just to round it out, we had a film series that we decided this year to pack all into one day instead of spreading it out over the year. So we had a marathon, movie marathon, in January. We had a speaker last fall, and as you said, we'll be having two speakers this spring. And we also have a museum exhibit I say a museum exhibit, but it's actually an exhibit that exists in two forms. In the TTU Museum, you can walk in and see images on the wall, kind of traditional museum format. But if you're up for something a little more 21st century, a little more electronic, a little more interactive, the same images, in fact more of them, are available on a traveling kiosk that this month is in the TTU Library in the East Lobby. And the exhibit is, as I said, interactive. So it features, I think we have 220 images of the future. Now, some of them are the future from today's perspective, looking, I can only say, very high tech and very, is that really going to happen? But some of them are images of the future from the past. So when you think of science fiction written, you know, in the 19th century, the early 20th century, some things look now positively quaint. And we have those images too. And the game you get to play with this is to pick the word that you think best describes the image. And we've tried to have really, really varying captions under the images. So something that to some people looks, oh, I don't know, cold or impersonal, to someone else might look snazzy and progressive, and to somebody else might look, well, medically beneficial, but not too warm and cuddly. And we've boiled them all to each one is a single word choice. And you pick the one that you think goes best with the image, and then you immediately get to see what percentage of people picked what you did and what percentage picked the other two. And of course, sometimes, well, this much depends on your personality. Some people love to see, whew, I'm in the majority. 85% of users picked what I picked. Some of us are a little more, I don't know, ornery. And we get excited when it's like, haha, only 7% of people picked what I picked. I'm singular, I'm unusual, I'm special. There's no right or wrong. So that's another way that we're playing with futures.
Well, the speaker that you have coming very soon, actually on Thursday, the 2nd of March at 5:30 p.m., her name is Abby Smith Rumsey, and she's going to present a talk called Digital Memory, What Can We Afford to Lose? Now, that's a really fascinating thing to think about, digital memory. Where do you think she will go with this speech?
Well, I don't want to speak for her, but I will say I have read her recent book, When We Are No More, How Digital Memory is Shaping Our Future. And, you know, as I said, she seems to me like a cup half full person, not a cup half empty. So I'm thinking she may be more utopian rather than dystopian. But the idea of digital memory is actually quite simple. How have humans remembered things? Well, the crudest way to put it is we wrote them down. We wrote them down in cave paintings. We wrote them down on cuneiform tablets. We wrote them down on papyrus. We wrote them down on manuscript paper, and then we began printing them, first with press type and then with movable type. And that was actually not so bad because, as you know, you can still go see cave paintings. And you can go to museums and see some very, very, very old documents. Okay, we don't have the exact two tablets of the Ten Commandments, but we got a lot of stuff. Right. But many of us have had the experience of wanting to go to a URL only to find that what we were looking for is no longer there. And a number of us can say, well, I've got five boxes of my baby and childhood pictures in a closet somewhere. I don't really have pictures of my child. I have a lot of digital things, but if the hardware evaporated or the electricity was down for too long or I forgot a password, there would be no pictures. And these are personal examples. But if you extend that to our cultural materials, I think Rumsey's argument is that we are in danger of losing the very sorts of things on which historians have always based their studies, and therefore on which all the rest of us have kind of based our understandings of who we are and how we got here. I'll mention one other thing that's coming up this spring that takes a dystopian view of this, and that's a play being done by the School of Theater and Dance called Mr. Burns. The play takes place after some kind of disaster that has knocked out all of the electricity in the Americas. Okay, where are we? Well, we don't have cell phones because we can't recharge them. We don't have Google Maps because we don't have access to things. We don't have preserved foods because we don't have refrigerators. So suddenly people are looking for things like atlases and compasses and realizing how many things we no longer remember how to do because we've become dependent on things digital. It's a little scary. The people in the play do find a way of claiming humanity and memory. I won't say how. You'll have to come see it. It runs in April. But Rumsey is saying, well, reclaiming it is not going to be enough if we haven't figured out ways to store it and be able to get to it, even if hardware changes, even if electricity goes out. And I think she believes that this needs to be a publicly funded undertaking, that if we leave it to the people and companies who have founded and support and developed the internet, we will end up with all kinds of snazzy and wonderful things, but things that could disappear as soon as some other things become more profitable. And for better or for worse, saving things that will be of importance to future historians may not be the sexiest and most profitable things if sexiness and profit are the major things on your mind. So I think that's what she's going to talk about, but I don't want to speak for her, and I am very eager to get there myself and hear it.
And I thought just lack of institutional knowledge was a problem.
Well, actually, some of the people who most readily grasp what she's talking about are historians who will readily tell you that such things as, letters home from soldiers are plentiful if you want to study the Civil War or World War I or World War II. If you want to study any of the Middle Eastern wars of the last 20 years, good luck.
Right, right.
So I think these are examples that I think kind of anybody can understand. Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Her book is very, it's a very pleasurable read, and we will be giving away free copies of When We Are No More to the first 12 people to arrive at the talk on Thursday, March 2nd. And we hope to run out of them very quickly.
Great. Well, the talk itself is in the Formby Room of the Southwest Collection at 5:30 p.m. Thursday, March 2nd. Can anybody just come?
Absolutely. It is open to the public.
All right. Wonderful. Dorothy Chansky, it's always a pleasure to have you. You're just so enlightening and so interesting. And we hope that you'll come back a lot.
It's been an absolute pleasure every time I've been here. So thank you.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
More information on the Humanities Center at Texas Tech University is available at humanitiescenter.ttu.edu. Thanks for listening to The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio. I'm Clint Barrick.